ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज, गेस्ट्स। मेनी ऑफ यू मस्ट बी कमिंग फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम, मेनी ऑफ यू आर कमिंग फॉर लास्ट सेवरल इयर्स, स्पेशली टुडेज सच टोरेंशियल रेन। इट इज सेड दैट व्हाट एवर एक्टिविटीज वी परफॉर्म, इफ इट टेक्स अस क्लोजर टू कृष्णा, then that becomes the most auspicious investment in our life. So thank you very much. For last several Sundays, we have been presenting series of discourses, of course, on Krishna, his pastimes, his glories. Today's is a little different, but it's also very important. Of course, Krishna's glories cannot be described without his devotees. Many times people ask when they read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are devotees, but then they were many, many thousands years back. You take the example of Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj or Ambarish or Parikshit or Yudhishthir Maharaj and so many. How is it practical in this age? Is there any devotee like that? Is it practical in this modern age? Of course it is. So we are going to talk the glories of one such modern day devotee, or you can say modern day saint. The question arises many times that why do we glorify devotees? I'm sure this is a very common question, and I'm sure all of you know why we do that. One of the most common thing we say is that you please the spiritual master, you please the devotee, Krishna is pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasadat. If you displease him, then Krishna is displeased. That means you cannot directly please Krishna. And you cannot receive mercy of Krishna also directly. If Krishna's mercy has to come, it has to also come through only a devotee. As we read in this bhajan, this is from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. It says, Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him. To me, I am simply running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. Even if you want Krishna, it is only through the means of devotees. Also, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna himself says, Uddhava, just for our understanding, that who is a devotee? It's very cheaply we say that now I am a devotee. To say that a devotee is not a very ordinary thing. So we'll just hear in this verse, what does Krishna say to Uddhava? Who is a devotee? It is said that this is in the 11th canto, 7th chapter, 44th verse. Krishna instructs Uddhava. He's saying, the verse is, Swacha prakritita snigdo, madhuryas tirtha bhurnanam, muni punati apham mitram, iksho pasparsha kirtane. So this is in Sanskrit. So obviously we need some translation. What does it mean? So Krishna is saying, O king, a saintly person is just like water. That's true. There's water today all around. So you can easily relate it to very water pouring down. He says, just like water, because he is free from all contamination, gentle by nature, and by speaking creates a beautiful vibration like that of a flowing water. Just by seeing him, touching him, or hearing such a saintly person, the living entity is purified. Just as one is cleansed by contact with pure water. Thus a saintly person, like a holy place, purifies all those who come in contact with him. Why? Because he always chants the glories of the Lord. So there are several reasons, here Krishna himself is saying. But few days back, those who attended Srimad Bhagavatam class, you heard Gauranga Prabhu saying, what is the difference between a demigod and a devotee? Today it is very appropriate, by very soon all over Maharashtra there will be demigod worship, right? It's not that we are against demigod worship. We respect demigod in their own position. Now what is the difference between a devotee and a demigod? It is said a demigod, he can only chase the karma of a person. If you have done good, he'll give you good. If you have done bad, the bad reactions will follow. Just like shadow cannot be separated. You cannot separate. When you move, shadow is also moving. So demigod's blessings are just like a shadow moving, chasing your karma. So who is a devotee? What is the difference? A devotee is the one, when he desires, what happens? Krishna chases his desire. Krishna is chasing his desire. He is desiring, so Krishna is following. So when he desires, there is all auspiciousness. He intervenes in people's karma. Whatever your past is, who cares? He can intervene and make it all auspicious. You get an understanding about whom, what we are talking about? Difference between a demigod and a devotee. So today I have been ordered to speak on the modern saint. His divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Now this is not a very, one sense it is very easy to speak, because there is so much information, so much. If you don't know any Shastra, you just speak about Prabhupada. How did he start? And you can go on and on and on. One sense is very easy. But same time, it is not so easy to understand that who was Prabhupada. Oh, we may say that, oh, Prabhupada was, 1965 he left, and Jaladuta and all. It is not so easy, because it is very difficult to understand the activities of a devotee. We see it through our material vision. So many times it may appear that those activities are like normal activities. So unless a person has got that same purity, you will not be able to understand. So that sense, it is not a very easy topic. It is very difficult. You need to be very qualified to speak on these type of subjects. So anyway, to be very focused, it was said that you speak on this topic. He built a house where the whole world could stay. Very profound, right? Can you see any house like that? It is said that Prabhupada built a house where the whole world could stay. To build a house that big, where whole, and even if you can accommodate everyone, how can you maintain that house, Imagine how diverse it is. What to speak about joint family? Even nuclear family is breaking up, right? There was an article in newspaper It's a trend, of course, it's a Western culture. It is said that now when a son or a daughter, when she is earning, she tells her parents that I would like to stay separately. I need my own space. And these people are being interviewed and they are telling about their how free I am and so much freedom I have. I can do. I am alone in a rented flat. And same time, there is one more article saying that the common problem nowadays is loneliness. So one side, someone is trying to go away from his family. Another side, the common problem is loneliness. This is a very serious problem. Loneliness. So this is a situation, and this type of situation, Prabhupada is saying, I mean, this is what his followers have said, that how he has built a house where the whole world could stay. So Prabhupada, in one sense, never before in the history, if you see, before we talk about how he did it, how great he was, never before, it is Prabhupada who made Krishna famous all over the world. Whoever may talk about it now, any sampradaya, when we meet them, they may talk about many things about, you know, you people have no proper standard and all, but who made Krishna famous? It is Prabhupada. Even if you talk about Madhvacharya, who made Madhvacharya famous? It is Prabhupada. Who made Ramanujacharya famous? It is Prabhupada. So Prabhupada in the history, he is the one who made. Never before in the history there were so much Vedic literatures distributed. Never before. And that is Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is not something which happened in the recent past. We take it as something very ordinary. He is the one who transplanted the Vedic culture. You know, transplanting a Vedic culture, which was in India, to go and transplant it in the Western world. Anyone would say that it should be rejected immediately. But he was successful. This was his greatness. So Prabhupada, one more thing about Prabhupada is never before in the history, pure devotional service was mentioned. What to speak about Western world, even in our country, people didn't know about what is pure devotional service. What is pure? At least we have some understanding that this is pure devotional service. Means there is no selfish interest. It is said that in the Western world, many times in the other faith, they get very impressed when the children, they are praying to God. See, look, our children are praying to God. So at least they are praying to God. But if you listen carefully, what are they praying for? They are praying for, get me good grades in exam. Maybe in the Western world, they may be talking about some other things about, you know, I like this girl or I like this boy. We should win this match. And the priest, they are so proud. They are saying that, see how our children are. They are praying to God. And you'll be amazed to know that Prabhupada, during his time, the Gurukul children, what they would be praying? They would be praying that, please, my Lord, please save me from Maya. Please, small children, they may not even know, understand, you know, exactly what is Maya. But the prayers were there. This is what Prabhupada instilled, these type of even faith. And among children, please remove all these anarthas from my heart. So never before Prabhupada, even this had gone to the Western world. So this is what it is said that in the history it will be known that it is Prabhupada who saved. We may say that we are speaking out of, because you people are following, you are saying that. He saved the world, or he saved people from going to hell. So Prabhupada's books for another 10,000 years will be the law book. This is Prabhupada. It's very difficult to know that how did he do that. So we'll try in this short time. It's not something which we can speak about. But in this next whatever time we have, we'll try to see that how did he build this, obviously, and how did he manage it, and what were the dealings. In Srimad Bhagavatam, even Brahmaji is also feeling very sad. He's very hesitant. He's saying, what is this? You know, I had to create this universe. He's not very happy about creating this universe. Now, one sense, this universe is also for everyone, right? All living entities. But he's feeling very sad. Why? What is it? How is it designed? The way it is designed, it is only to cause suffering in this world. So he's not very happy, but he is doing it because that is what is his duty. And in that type of a material existence, Prabhupada is saying that, no, Prabhupada built a house where the whole world could stay. That means it has to be something like not to get affected by the material influence, I mean material energy. How did he do that is, we'll see how. Those who have not been very familiar, we will try. So after Prabhupada's departure, many of his disciples, they came out with many publications and magazines and books and so many. So much is written about Prabhupada, especially about his dealings. See, it is very difficult. Even if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you may not get so much inspired. You read Srimad Bhagavatam, okay, you feel very nice. But to get inspired, you have to see a person who is living Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why it is said, there is one book, Srimad Bhagavatam, and there is a person, Srimad. Now, who is a person, Srimad Bhagavatam? A person, Srimad Bhagavatam, is living Srimad Bhagavatam. What do you mean by living Srimad Bhagavatam? Means how he talks, how he behaves, how he acts, how he deals in different situations, what happens when there is crisis, how he inspires others. This is a person. So when you see him, you hear him, you get inspired. Otherwise, just reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you may get some type of inspiration. So he was living Srimad Bhagavatam. So in short, it's a very long thing that how he did it. It happened in 1922. He was Abhay Charan. He met first time his spiritual master. And it was not something very serious. He just told him that you are a very intelligent young man. And you know English. This is not something very, you take it so seriously. He just said that, but Prabhupada. He was so convinced. He did argue. He said that how can we, you know, when we are under British Empire, we are like slaves. So who is going to listen to us? First is independence. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarathi Maharaj said, this can't wait. Government can change. It is not that the government changes, it makes any difference. But this can't wait, that once we become independent, then there will be some type of a change. That we already have experienced. So many governments have come and gone. It is not that life becomes different. But this message, if it is available, how it can change people's life and what is the utility of Krishna consciousness, how it can completely change a person's way of thinking, his lifestyle, and living, and obviously happiness. So this was the difference. But he said that, but he never forgot. He was thinking that first let me make money. So he was doing business. But then there was a time when his business collapsed. But then he realized, but then finally, of course he had to beg for a ticket. His condition was so poor. Sumati Murarji, outside her office, he had to literally beg for a ticket. because he didn't have. He said, please give me. And she, as a well-wisher, she said that you should not go because you are old, you will die. And then finally, of course, he was so determined that she had to agree, and he went in that Jaladuta. And he reached a place where there were people who had no culture. He lived in a place called Bauri on a loft. And some people will come to visit. Hardly anyone knew. No one would even give him any attention. But the boy who was staying with him, he turned out to be a very violent person. So one day Prabhupada was on the street with his two suitcases. No house at all for him. And with the help of his whoever had some interest, he desperately sought help that I need a place. And then somewhere in the newspaper they found that there is one rental place. It was 1 mile away from this place. So next day morning, Prabhupada with two of his suitcases, that was his only belongings, and a few of his people who were, they were not following any regulative principles, they had no proper understanding, but they felt this is an old Swami, and they had their own interest. Some of them interested was classical music, some wanted to know what is Sanskrit, some wanted to know what is Indian culture, but no one knew exactly what he wanted to give. So they helped him, they came to this place which is now world famous as 26th Second Avenue or storefront. It was just a storefront. And very soon this place became the headquarters. This big place became the headquarters for publications. It was a temple, it was a pilgrimage, it was a place where army of people came on the street later. This is storefront. Even today, there are people who know what had happened that place. They offer their prostrated obeisances outside. Because they remember that this person is the one who saved us. So this is how it began. A storefront. And from that storefront, very soon, see Prabhupada's vision. How clear. It is said that in Shastra, it is said that a pure devotee, the way we see sun in the noon, sun is very clear. So pure devotee sees Krishna like this. He can see very clearly. No doubt we say that Prabhupada had that faith in the holy name. But his faith was not what we talk about, you know, what type of faith we have. It's a very intellectual faith, you know, we have. His faith was, he was experiencing directly the loving nature of the soul, the soul's loving nature with Krishna, and Krishna's loving nature with the soul. So when he was experiencing that, he used to not make any difference when he used to see people, whether he's a millionaire or a person loitering on the street. Because both of them used to see that this is what this person can get, can achieve in this human life. But he is depriving himself of this. So his faith was direct experience of Krishna's love, which he desperately wanted to give it to everyone. So very soon this movement flourished. The many people started coming. And one time, the same, they were very honest. So they asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how is it that, you know, we were into all these type of sinful activities. How is it that we received this? We have no qualification. So Prabhupada said that, I made your qualification. So what does that mean? I made your qualification. Because Prabhupada penetrated their heart and made them qualified to understand this. To penetrate, we know that in our day-to-day preaching, how incapable we are to penetrate anyone. You know? How people have their own conception. In our country, here, whatever Hindus or, you know, very cultured, very pious people, we want to penetrate. Because purity is the force. Prabhupada had that purity, this compassion, his kindness, his determination. He wanted to give. So this was the only reason. So there is one very nice anecdote about Prabhupada that in Europe, we may not have this experience because Europe is a country where during winter, the small ponds and lakes and puddles and all, the surface of the water, it freezes. So there is an ice layer. So one time during his, this was of course when ISKCON was nearly established, it was well known. So Prabhupada during his morning walk, he'll be walking with his disciples and he had his cane. And every time he used to see a small puddle with a layer of ice, he would take the cane and he would crush it. And when he used to crush it, the ice will break and there will be water. So again he will go in front, he will do that. The disciples are wondering that what is Prabhupada doing? Is it some type of a sense gratification? In one sense, it is a sense gratification, isn't it? If we are doing it, why do we do it? We get some sense gratification breaking the ice. But no one dared to ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why are you doing this? And Prabhupada also didn't say, why is he doing that? He went on doing it, but then after several years, someone said that, I asked Prabhupada and Prabhupada said, want to know what he said? So this is why we should know that when a devotee acts, so he behaves, he acts, and we see through our mortal vision that he did like this. But we don't know his intention, why he did that. That's famous, what is that book? The book was titled Shah Jahan. And the whole book was only about Aurangzeb's atrocities. So someone asked that this whole book is about Aurangzeb, then why the book is titled Shah Jahan? So who will answer that? So you have to ask the author. So the author is, why have you titled this Shah Jahan? The book is all about Aurangzeb's author. So that time he said that Aurangzeb was constantly thinking, meditating upon all the things, and he was the one who was suffering the most. Who? Shah Jahan. Sitting, there in the prison. So that is why I have given the title Shah Jahan. So the book is all on Shah Jahan. So similarly, a devotee, when he acts, behaves, it is very difficult for us to understand that why did he behave like this? Why did he act like this? What did he say like this? So Prabhupada said that all the living entities, human beings, they have this misconception in their heart about that they are this body and they are not aware of the softness which is within the nature of the soul. So I want to break that misconception and make them understand the softness of the thing which is within. So every time I used to see that, I used to go and break it. So this was his force, this was his purity, this was his compassion. So this is how he influenced people. This is how you change people's heart. So very soon, very amazing thing, in that same 26 store front, Prabhupada one day he called, he said that we should form, now we should register our society. So the disciples were wondering that, but where is the society? So he said, no, you don't know it. Like before, once he was in a park bench, sitting there in the park. And this man, he's a subway conductor. So he was recollecting. He had nothing, Prabhupada. So he asked that, what is your objective? Why have you come here? He said that there are many temples all around the world. And each temple is crowded with devotees. So where is it? It's only time separating. This was Prabhupada's strong belief. Everything was there. So the disciples were not disciples. They were just here. So they never thought that this is going to go beyond 26th Second Avenue. This will remain in the world. A few of us, we will be doing our, some yoga, some, Bhagavad Gita class. But he said, no, we will call our society international. This was another big blow, no? Just few of us, and then international. So International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But Krishna people don't know here. Who knows what is Krishna? No, no, many of them have not heard about Krishna in the Western world. No one knew. No one has heard about Krishna's name. What to speak about seeing his picture or photo? Prabhupada, we should name it International Society for God Consciousness. That is more, accommodating. People will come. Prabhupada was very clear. It has to be Krishna Consciousness. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a person. He is very merciful. He is a friend. He is very kind, compassionate. And you all can relate with this personality. So our society will not mislead people. We will give what is truth. So it was International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But how will you register? So they had to go to a lawyer. So there was one lawyer who came. His name was Mr. Goldsmith. So he came out with all the documents and papers. Who are going to be the trustees? So Prabhupada called out John, Robert, whoever is there, his girlfriend. So you sign. But they don't even know what is there in the documents. He said, you become the trustees. And next year, they will become the trustees. So he was very clear. And what was the purpose of... He had laid down all the purpose also. That what it will be like. And he didn't have anything that. No money, no disciples, no followers, no temple. And he did exactly what he had laid down. But he had laid down that time. His followers, they were shocked. Of course, we all know that how the seven objectives of ISKCON, that how to spread knowledge in this world. Now you recollect it is never before Vedic literature. Then how to make people understand about what is Krishna consciousness. Then how to bring members, all the members, form a community and bring them closer to Krishna. How to establish Sankirtana. Sankirtana means coming together and chanting. And how to erect holy place. That means temples. Then how to make people understand what is simple and natural way of living. That is farm community. Which you can see it now. It is one of the most important media through which we can preach. And above all, to print books. So these were the objectives laid down. A society was formed, registered, so that we will receive donations and the government has to give tax exemption. With this small, humble beginning, it started and very soon started attracting people of different natures. There were musicians, there were singers, there were architects, there were scientists, few of them. But there were people of different talent. The carpenters, builders, plumbers. All these people started getting attracted. And this is how the society slowly started flourishing. So this is how he accommodated everyone. Of course, we may say that many times it is said it's a cult. It is not that Prabhupada was some self-appointed leader. This is not something Hare Krishna's some new philosophy. There is a history behind it. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He was Krishna himself. So he descended. Why he descended? He wanted to give mercy to everyone. So this is how it started. When Krishna was there 5,000 years back, the mercy was only for those who are very pure or totally surrendered. It was not for everyone. 500 years back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed to everyone. But then in his legacy, the Goswamis and then Narottam Das Thakur, they started preaching and they were doing it to the dacoits, the sinners. Everyone was giving. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur is the first time, is the one who started sending this literature to the Western world. So see, every acharya was playing his role, unfolding what was going to happen. It is not that Prabhupada was the first one. It is just part of that whole parampara coming down. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made 64 mathas. And then came Prabhupada. It is already said in Shastra that this bhakti, this jnana, will cross this country and go to the Western world. It is there. The references are there. It will be there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, but the people who are away from India, there will be my Senapati. He will be there. He will go. So it was already predicted. So this was the prophecy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his time when he was there, he used to travel to South India, he used to look at people and people who develop bhakti instantly. So why is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do it all over the world? He could have done that. Why didn't do that? So Prabhupada said that he saved it for us. So this is how the legacy goes. It was already prophesied, already predicted that this will happen. Prithvite acharati nagaradi gram sarvatra prachara hoibe mora naam. So this is every town and village, this will spread. So this is in connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how very soon, what we say, Prabhupada's community, there were people from different nationalities, beyond all caste, creed, sex, social strata, white, blue, yellow, all different types of skin, and they all came. Naturally, when we say a house, house means shelter, isn't it? When we say house, it gives us shelter, it gives us protection, and it also gives us nourishment. Nourishment, all physical, emotional, spiritual. There are family values, there are relationships, there are cultural values, there are festivals, there are celebrations. Of course, there are conflicts. So in this type of a scenario, obviously, it is said that when this house is like an oasis in a desert, so the outside environment is also going to get affected. The example given, if you have an air-conditioned hall in the middle of a desert, every time you open the door, the hot air is going to come in. So similarly, whatever community is formed, there will be naturally some influence, both from internally and externally. So this was an organization where Prabhupada had to manage. What do you think? How easy it must be? So difficult. Diverse culture, in this diverse culture, to bring unity among everyone, to make people remain united. Impossible, one sense. But he showed it to the world. You can do it. He was an expert. All this is because of his pure qualities and his selfless intentions. There was not a tinge of any selfish interest. So Krishna is to fulfill all the desires. So very soon it was the beginning Sankirtan. Then naturally people, when they go out in the Sankirtan, people get attracted. They would come and then they would follow the Sankirtan. They would come to the temple. So it was the temple which was the main place, which was like a place where people were given shelter. So once Prabhupada was asked that there are so many old dilapidated temples. Why are you making all this new temple? Why don't we just renovate these temples? And so this man was asking, was a businessman, industrialist. So he asked him. He didn't directly answer his question. So he asked, who is this lady sitting next to you? So he said, that's my wife. So Prabhupada asked him, why did you marry her? Now this is not a question you will expect. She is my wife and you are asking, why did you marry her? So obviously he could not answer. So Prabhupada said, you married her so that you can have your own children, isn't it? So he said, yes. Why you want your own children? There are so many children loitering in the street. Why don't you accept them as your children? So similarly, I know there are many buildings, temples, but we want our own so that we can give it as an offering to Krishna. We want it. It is not that Prabhupada didn't accept old buildings. In the Western world, most of the churches, especially in Toronto, Los Angeles, Chicago, Montreal, they were church. There were no one going to the church. And Prabhupada's disciples go and approach, why don't you give us? But there will be a big cost because these churches were beautifully designed churches, stone carved. But then Prabhupada would be willing to take any help provided he can get that building. Because he knew that people who are here, frustrated, struggling, they need this. And once I established that, I can help them. So in Toronto, it so happened that they wanted to buy a church. And there, they said it is some $3 lakh. You know, where is the money? Where $3 lakh will come? Many times disciples would ask Prabhupada, but where is the money? So Prabhupada would confidently say, why are you worried about the money? It is Krishna will provide. This is what Prabhupada's faith was. Like one reporter once came and asked Prabhupada, I can understand, but so many activities are going on here. So where is the money coming from? So Prabhupada said, Krishna maintains. Yeah, that I understand, but what about the money? Where the money comes from? So I said, Krishna maintains, Krishna provides. So that time one of the disciples said, I book distribution and Krishna maintains. Prabhupada intervened him. It is not book. We don't sell books. That is the money. Krishna maintains. Then Prabhupada said, see, there is Krishna in your heart. If I pray to Krishna in your heart, he will remove your wallet and keep everything in front of me. So he said, okay, Swamiji, I'm going. So this was, many times Prabhupada, where is the money, where is the money? He said, why are you worried about the money? Money is flying in all directions. You should know the art of catching it. He had full faith that money will come. So in this Toronto temple, when they said this, where is the money coming from? So there were many Indians there. So at the time of leaving, so the Indians, they asked, Swamiji, when will you come back to bless us? So Prabhupada knew that Indians, you know, Indians are that sentimentally very much, you know. So I will come back again, provided you get this church. So very soon, within 2 months, all the money was arranged and the church. Why does this happen? Because Prabhupada has no other selfish desire. Just like in the beginning of the class we said, when he has this desire, Krishna chases that desire. Because the mood is only to help people. The mood is not for any other reason. So this way temples went all around. There were beautiful temples coming up. Of course, people, Prabhupada was sometimes criticized that why are you spending so much on all this temple? Why? So he said, for me, in the morning walk, when someone confronted him, that why so much money? I can preach here, right here. And there was a crack. So there is a crack in the ground. So I can sit here and I can preach. But will you come here? So no one will come to listen. Just to attract people to come and hear. So he made temples all around. So this way very soon the temples were all over the world. This is how temple building took place during Prabhupada's time. Of course, when there is a family, such a big family, it was a big anxiety for Prabhupada. You know, as it is said that to bring people to Krishna consciousness is a big challenge. You know that how we have come here, we don't know. It's just a causeless mercy. How did he come? What faith we had? We talk about faith. We didn't even know about, you know, once we came to know, then we start realizing, my God, it is so mysterious. What is this soul? What is this universe? How this is happening? But when we didn't know, we didn't bother us. When we came to know little, then we start. So some or the other, we are here, we have some faith. So it is a big challenge to get people into this house. Huh? And the biggest challenge is to see that they don't leave. And the third biggest challenge is those who stay back to see that they are constantly enthused to carry on Krishna consciousness. So this was a big challenge for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, why are you traveling to different temples? Why you are going? Why was he going? So Prabhupada said that I am going just to see that my disciples don't fall into Maya. He was only concerned about, so he'll travel. 14 times he went around the world in that short span. But when you say such big organization, naturally there will be always some type of a conflict, differences. There is one nice example about one lady, Mataji, disciple of her. Her name was Kaushalya. She was very young. When she joined, she was very young. So one day she told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am fed up. People talk ill about me. They are criticizing me. I want to leave. So she decided that she will go far away. This was in Mayapur. And I will stay in some lady's ashram and shave my head. And I live there. When Prabhupada came to know, he called her. So what is your problem? So she said, so Prabhupada said, you are looking out for a calm ocean in this material world. It is impossible. You understand? Calm ocean. Material existence means there will be always some waves thrown up at us. It's our common experience in life that anytime anything can be thrown up at us, which can become a big challenge to face. And if you're not trained, it's a very difficult thing. So he assured her, this human body is like a boat. And if you have a good captain, and the favorable winds are the spiritual knowledge, so when I am there as a captain, why don't you just hold on? And I'll take you over this ocean. So this way, he is to solve problem. People would sometimes leave. Sometimes those who leave, they would come back also. So manage an organization with so much of government opposition and what to speak about so many other, the standards not being maintained, and accusation, false accusation that children are being kidnapped, they have been, you know, hypnotized and that brainwash and this. And what a turbulent thing it must be for him to manage an organization like this. Every time there was some anxiety about something. And his own disciples, Sanyas disciples, deviating from the principles, falling down. How much he was trying hard. There is one more very nice, this is another lady, her husband walked away. So she went to Prabhupada expecting that, well, there will be a lot of sympathy. Because she was very young and her husband had walked away. It used to happen in the Western world. Husband just walks away. Irresponsible. He doesn't even look back where he has gone. And she's alone. So she went in front of Prabhupada with this problem. Now this is a family problem. You know, problem, what to do? So she was expecting that Prabhupada will be very sympathetic towards her. So Prabhupada said something else. He said, and he was sitting at a place where the ocean waves were lashing us against the wall. It was a very beautiful one-side sight. So the ocean waves were lashing against the wall of the building compound. So he said, this is what is material existence. He told her, everything is temporary. Everything breaks here. He put his hand behind the pillow and he took a flint of the wood. He plucked it off and he said, see, everything breaks here. Then he told her, you can hear the waves lashing. and the waves will die, then the water will recede. Then what happens when the water recedes? You will see bubbles. What happens to the bubble? Each bubble will be there for some time and then it will break. So he gave her this knowledge that whatever you are, whatever relationship you have, this is all temporary. Your eternal relationship is with Krishna. Of course, this is the time what he said. So she was anyway assured. She was had that hopes that how to live a life in relationship with Guru and Krishna. So there are many people who carried on like this. They became very advanced under Prabhupada's shelter and they perfected their life. Several cases such, when they leave their body, they were so fixed. Prabhupada would come in their dream and he would tell them that I am waiting for you. Come back. That is very clear. Several cases. So this is perfection through Prabhupada's this house where he built. He gave this type of an assurance. Of course, there is one more very interesting thing which may also be related. This happened when this Radha Damodar party. Now, many of you don't know what was Radha Damodar party. This was led by Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And it was so successful. They had several buses and they would travel to different places and massive book distribution. This much book distribution was going on. And same time in another temple, there will be Grastha presidents who will also be doing book distribution. For there was a competition that who will be doing the maximum book distribution. So one of Prabhupada's disciples, Rameshwar, he called up, he said, Maharaj, so much are you going to contribute this time through book distribution? So there is a competition between two temples. One is Los Angeles where Jayatirth, he was the president, he was the lead. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I will give you a blank check. You add $10,000 to whatever Jayatirtha Prabhu collects. So this was the competition going on. So that time, of course, it became very intense. So what used to happen is all brahmacharis who were there in the temple, many temples, they would like to join this Radha Damodar because this was a team of brahmacharis. So brahmacharis would leave the temple and go. So it was a big thing. So in Mayapur, there was a meeting. Prabhupada is sitting, brahmacharis are sitting, and there were 90 brahmacharis cultivated through this Radha Damodar party and they were all enthusiastic, very successful, no question about it. And there were Grastha presidents, they're saying, complaining to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what is happening? Prabhupada just listening, just looking at Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Didn't say anything. And many of them, they left. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was looking at Prabhupada. What is happening? I'm doing such good service. Radha Damodar party is so successful and here people are not happy about it. So he said, Prabhupada, well, I think if my God brothers are not happy with me, then I better go to China. So Prabhupada didn't say anything. He just walked out. And next day in the Mangala Arati, someone comes and calls Tamal Krishna. Prabhupada wants to see you immediately. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to meet Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada. So, you are going to China. But Prabhupada, what about Radha Damodar party? I mean, who is going to look after? We have been managing. They need me. I should be here. Prabhupada became very upset. His lips started quivering. His hands started trembling. He said, you are going to China. Prabhupada, I can't go to China. Why should I go to China? So there was Guru Kripa. Maharaj, you were sitting behind. Prabhupada, I will go to China. No, you are not going. It is Tamal Krishna Gosai Maharaj who is going to go to China. So that time Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj taught, if it is this service which is going to make my spiritual master happy, then why not me? So he agreed that I'll go to China. Then Prabhupada went up on the rooftop. That was his daily walk. And that time he made a very public announcement that Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj will be going to China. And there was a uproar, yes, Hari Bol. So this way, because Prabhupada could see that if this conflict is allowed to go on, it is going to be a waste. So in this state of a negative type of a thing going on, he brought something very positive without telling anything to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He didn't say anything that why this is happening, why this happened, why the brahmacharis are living, but something very positive. This is how Prabhupada would manage such a difficult situation where so many people involved, different nature, diverse type of an attitude, and still he would keep everyone together. That's how we can say that he built a house where everyone could stay. There is one very interesting another thing about Prabhupada. People who have gone, always there will be some problem. It's not so easy to stay, right? There will be some conflict, some misunderstanding. You don't like. So there was one such disciple of Prabhupada. He left and no one knew where he went. But then Prabhupada had created such a great impact in his heart. He left the temple but he could not forget Prabhupada. So what he will do is, from outside, he will call up the temple. And he will cover the telephone with a kerchief so that they will not recognize his voice. And they'll ask them, when is Swamiji coming? So this was a question many people, you know, the newspaper reporter, they will ask. So they would not know who is asking. When is Swamiji coming? So every time this phone, when is Swamiji coming? Of course, one day he got an answer that Swamiji is coming on this day. That was the only answer. So that day, of course, Prabhupada came from the airport. Now, no one knows who is this person. So as soon as the car landed, the door opened. And from nowhere, this devotee came running and fell at Prabhupada's feet. And he was sobbing, crying, tears were just soaking Prabhupada's shoes. And Prabhupada just kept 1 foot outside the car. And Prabhupada stood still then. Others started pulling him. Get out, move from here. Prabhupada said, just leave him alone. And he was just crying and crying, and Prabhupada's whole shoes got soaked with his tears. And they pulled him out. And they saw that Prabhupada's shoes are all soaked with tears. So one disciple brought fresh, dry shoes to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you change your shoes. Prabhupada just got up. He said, that is all right. And he just walked. So this was his dealings with his Western disciples. It is very difficult for us to understand that what type of a loving relationship he had, what impact he must have created. They're willing to do anything. They'll go, they will come back. So this is how it is to happen in the family. Of course, there are many things. Ultimately, Prabhupada would always try to resolve all differences by just raising their consciousness. There is one more example of two people who had completely, they were against, but they were doing the same service. They will come together. They will be milking the cow. And they will be taking care of the cow shed and barn. But both of them knew that this is the last person I will be with him if I was not in Krishna consciousness. So diverse were their attitude, their behavior, you know, completely. One was very soft, another was very aggressive, but they were together. How can both people be together? But just because they were doing the service together, the service was together, but the difference is the complete contrast. But in the course of time, they became best of friends. And for another 25 years, they were the best of friends. So a relationship which began with a lot of, you know, not a very pleasant type of an approach, but devotional service, which Prabhupada had faith, that you do devotional service, you will rise above all these differences and will resolve all these differences and will not see anything as like and dislike. So it was a big challenge to keep all, but that was his faith, that holy name and association and service and festivals and amazing the offer to keep all the family members together. It's a big challenge. Once, of course, Giriraj Maharaj asked this very nice question. He asked, Prabhupada, how to overcome envy? Now, this is again a big struggle. How to overcome envy? So Giriraj Maharaj is saying to himself, now I knew the answer. That, you know, there is Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is all merciful. There is so much scope for devotional service. There is no reason anyone should be envious of someone who is receiving more mercy. Because there is so much opportunity available. Devotional service, there is so much scope. So he asked this question. So Prabhupada said, envy means to dislike someone. So he said, so he was thinking that Prabhupada is going to ask him this question, that why he should not be, and he would answer, yes Prabhupada, you should not be, and because everything is coming through Krishna. If you see anyone has any good talent, that is Krishna's. If I'm envious, it is envious towards Krishna. This is all philosophical, no? We know intellectually, yes. So Prabhupada gave a very nice answer. He said that that propensity for envy, if it is there, it should be directed towards demons. It's an envy, but that propensity should be directed. So now you'll ask that, what is that? How do we direct? For that also, there is a lot of opportunity. Of course, there is a lot of scope. There is so much about cow killing going on. These are all demonic. There is abortion going on, child abuse, and what to speak. Of course, corruption also. We can talk about corruption also. So much is spoken about corruption, and what is the solution? Is the solution Lokpal Bill? You think the propensity to cheat or, you know, this is not going to go by just passing a bill. Sir Prabhupada said, you direct that propensity, but not against devotees. Don't use that propensity of dislike to devotees, but use for all these asuric tendencies. By using that, you can. So this was a very assuring answer. Prabhupada, of course, this way, I'm sure there is a lot of people you'll have to contribute to this subject. But whatever I felt, I thought, there was one lady who said she was doing full-time deity worship. Full-time, and she was thinking that is the best service. And Prabhupada came to know that she had her children. So he said that these children are specially entrusted to you by Krishna. They are Vaikuntha children. So your deity worship is taking care of the children. That is your full-time service. And that is as good as deity worship. This way Prabhupada would resolve. It is not the service, the type of service. It is the intention, the mood for what you are doing. So he'll resolve this issue. Of course, there is one more very interesting thing, how Prabhupada would accommodate everyone. Everyone would accommodate. So in Boston, there was one case. This was during Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj's time. He was the president. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj also was there. He was a brahmachari that time. So there was one person, his name was Peter. So he would be sitting in the temple right in the entrance. He used to come regularly to the temple. But his legs will be sprawled like this. He'll be leaned against the wall. He'd be reading sometimes. Sometimes you see him reading. Sometimes he'll be sleeping. Sometimes he'll be flat. And this was right at the entrance. So Satsarup Das Goswami wrote to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what to do with him? He's doing like this. I mean, they wanted Prabhupada to say that. Check him out. Something very easy, right? If someone is behaving like this, what's the easiest thing? Tell him, stop coming. Prabhupada said, tolerate him. I got to tell him, how to tolerate? Every day he's doing. So very soon they came to know that he has left. They found out where he has gone. He has gone to New York. So the next visit, Giriraj Maharaj, when he came to New York, he started inquiring, where is he? if he is there. So they said, oh, he has gone to Nivrindavan and he is going to get initiated. So Giriraj Maharaj's thing is getting initiated. And Giriraj Maharaj didn't meet him for next 20 years. And then after 20 years, in one of the temple during Mangal Arati, he saw him. So he was not sure, who is this person? So he went and asked, who is he? So they said, he is Kushakrita Prabhu. Now, Kushakrita Prabhu was in that time very famous for translating Bengali and Sanskrit into English. So he went and asked, were you Peter? He said, yes. He was the same Peter. Now this Peter has now become a translator for Vaishnava literatures. Now this is Prabhupada's potency. Prabhupada could see that. He said, just tolerate him and see what service he did. So there are several such anecdotes and incidents in Prabhupada's short span of managing this organization, how he was accommodating, how he was tolerating. Of course, about marriage, there was one issue about marriage. So he said, I remember my friend's daughter wanted to get married. He's talking about his past. So, but this girl, she refused to get married. She said, I don't want to become a slave of a man. So that time Prabhupada brought this issue about, is a woman after marriage becoming a slave? Prabhupada started giving example. You see, when we say Ram and Sita, we say Sita Ram. Sita comes first. She is the divine energy. When it comes to Krishna, Radha, what we say? Radha Krishna. So he was assuring that it is not like this. Prabhupada say a man should be so responsible, so hardworking. He should be providing whatever his wife needs. Very responsible. And a wife, she should be satisfied with whatever the husband provides. It is said that he should be providing everything, whatever she wants. Not the wife is demanding that, okay, this is your job, you should do. So this way, Prabhupada, every issues, cultural values, relationships, everywhere Prabhupada had something to enlighten and inspire people. Prabhupada was criticized for several things, of course, many times his own god brothers would, because they would not understand his intention. Like he is the first time who started Brahmacharini Ashram. Now Brahmacharini Ashram was never heard about. It is not heard about here, but in the Western world, we will not understand, because girls also will be moving alone. And there is a high chance that they were exploited. They were misused. So Prabhupada was concerned about it. So he said, if they are not staying with their parents, these girls, they should be given some security. So he established a parallel ashram called Brahmacharini Ashram, which was never heard. Of course, Prabhupada did many revolutionary things, because time, place, he was an acharya. He did all these things so that in the future, we should know that how to follow in his footsteps, not that you try to imitate. There's no question about imitation. Impossible. But these are all inspiring things about Prabhupada's rise. This is the way he... Of course, Prabhupada wanted that we should establish a traditional... This is something, a big challenge. Traditional Varnashrama. So very interesting thing. Now for us, what is Varnashrama? You know, we talk about Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and try to read that everywhere you go, that there will be always some person like this. So there's an interesting thing we just heard a few days back. Like this happened with, this is Radhanath Maharaj speaking, where he says that one time it happened that in one of his preaching in a college, so he was preaching, suddenly one person got up and he said that you are misleading people. This is what he told him. You are bogus. You are cheating. What you are talking about, if everyone becomes like you, that means you become like a Swami. What will happen to the world? So everyone started clapping. Because it was a very challenging question. You're misleading people. Everyone becomes like you. Everyone started clapping that, what is he going to say now? So that time he responded by saying, what is your profession? So he said, I'm an accountant. So he asked him, what if in the world everyone becomes an accountant? What will happen? You'll go unemployed. Because everyone will be doing their own accounts, right? There'll be no job for you. So this will never happen. So the point was that there will be people of different nature. So we need lawyers, we need doctors, we need engineers, we need mothers. You'll be surprised to know that when I say we need mothers, now mother is also a very important aspect of a society. Because in the Western world, it is something minimizing to say that I'm a mother. They will have their children, but they will not accept that I'm a mother. Because they want to be like a professional, not a mother. But mother is also a very important role. Because what a mother can do, no one can do that. So there is a need in the society, there should be mothers. So mothers are taking care of children. So he was told, similarly, when in a society, all that people, there are accountants also needed, there are lawyers that are needed, there are politicians needed, there are scientists needed, there are students, there are... So similarly, there also is a need of Swamis. So we are also doing something bit in the society. So there is a need. So that is what we are doing. So this is, in other words, you can understand that when you say Varna Ashrama, we are not talking about that Asurik Varna Ashrama where the Brahmanas are very proud that, you know, we are the top class. It is a social body. But the Brahmanas, intellectual class, is on the top. The Kshatriyas are like the limbs, the Vaishyas are like the tummy, and the Shudras are the... It is not that the head starts beating the legs. Actually, if you're beating the leg, you're beating yourself. If a society, it has to go in a right direction, all four people are needed. There has to be an intellectuals, there has to be Kshatriyas to protect, there has to be Vaishyas. So this way this point was brought out. So Prabhupada attracted all different types of people, but he wanted at this stage there should be Brahmanas available. What Brahmanas means? People who have the good understanding about the truth, they live a very pure life, so they can guide the society. So this was how Prabhupada, some or the other, he would bring the essence of Vedic culture in modern society. The essence, he cannot escape. To try in this environment where everything was going haywire, he established this Vedic culture and he was very successful. So at the time of course, there are different times Prabhupada said different things. One time Prabhupada, when he was very sick, see how he related different. He was very sick. So those are the early days, disciples were very much in anxiety. They said, well, they went. Three of them were there. Ketananand Maharaj, then Hayagriva Prabhu, and Mukunda Goswami Maharaj. So they were in anxiety. Prabhupada is very sick. So their anxiety was, what will happen to the moment when Prabhupada leaves? So they went and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what will happen? Who will take over? What will happen? So this is what he told his close disciples, what he said. He didn't answer anything. He just very softly said, my spiritual master was not an ordinary person. Now they didn't understand what he wants to say. So they came back. Again, they were discussing what he wanted. So Prabhupada said that he was a Vaikuntha man. So he was always trying to see about his spiritual master. They are asking this question and he's talking about spiritual master. So we can't speculate what he meant by that. Well, I was asking some devotees. They said, well, he meant that, you know, you can't take the position of a guru. But some other time, same thing, Giriraj Maharaj went to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, what in our ISKCON society if the standards are going down? What should we do? See, we should not forget that, you know, in the course of time in Kali Yuga, this is an history. All religions, we see that everything which is in the top, it starts going down. So Giriraj Maharaj was very concerned. So he asked Prabhupada, what should we do? So Prabhupada said, you are a very important person. You should stay within and try to correct it. But don't leave ISKCON. So once the same question was asked to Jayadeet Maharaj. Maharaj, it is said that, you know, all religions, all communities, all organizations, you know, then the standards, they go down. So what should you do? Yes, it goes down. But you should ask yourself, I should not be the cause of that. So that means each individual person, he should not be the cause of it. But there is one more incident, very interesting. When Prabhupada was, this was the last days in Vrindavan. See how different times what Prabhupada has said something. How much he used to protect, defend his disciples. Now this time, governor of Madras, Shriman Naranan, and his brother-in-law, Ramakrishna Bajaj. Ramakrishna Bajaj was an industrialist. And other person, Shriman, was a governor. Now when they saw that Prabhupada was terminally ill, so they wanted to know what will happen to this organization. So they came to Prabhupada and many disciples were there. So they said, Prabhupada, we want to talk to you in privacy. So Prabhupada said, all his disciples, you go. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj, before leaving, he just put the tape recorder on. So then they were hearing, what are they asking? Now these people are materialistic people. Now they are seeing the organization is so big, it's a multi-crore organization, so much is there. What is going to happen to this wealth? So they asked Prabhupada, who is the successor for your organization? Where it will go? So Prabhupada said, I have not selected any successor. Whoever follows my instructions, the legacy will go to him. So he never ever said that this person, whoever follows means anyone who can follow, he gets the inheritance. And obviously the inheritance is not something material. The inheritance is the connection to the parampara and our own spiritual consciousness which gets uplifted. So there are different, this is how Prabhupada would be very protective about his, so much is to love, he had so much faith. It is said, of course, he would, there is how he would always be defending. So there was one class when he is giving class. Prabhupada will be giving class and someone criticized. Prabhupada, your disciples are all right. But you know, they don't know to pronounce Sanskrit properly. So Prabhupada said, well, they may not be knowing to pronounce, but their enunciation is perfect. But another time, once another person criticized, I can see Prabhupada, most of them are sleeping during your class. 90% of the time I saw them sleeping. So Prabhupada said, at least 10% they are awake. But see, 10% being awake, what has happened to their life? You are 100% awake. What has happened to your life? You have been listening, but nothing has happened. So you'd be always protective, always protective, always protective. Of course, many times it was asked that, Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in the organization? This was the question Prabhupada would be asked. And Prabhupada called his closest disciple, how many members are there in our society now? So you'd say that so many thousands. So there are so many thousand pure devotees. So, okay, how can they be pure devotees? Because Prabhupada would explain that just like a mango, when it is raw, if it has to become ripe, what it has to do? It has to just remain in the tree, right? When it is raw, you just remain in the tree. It's just a question of time that you will become ripe. So anyone who is aspiring to become pure, he's aspiring, he's not pure. What is aspiring to become pure is as good as? So Prabhupada said, there are so many pure devotees. This is what Prabhupada's love was there for. He was seeing them as special. And the famous thing in Vrindavan, you all have heard this before. There was one of his Prabhupada's disciple. He was very eagerly watching Radha Raman Aarti going on. And he was with his eyes so happy. So the pujari saw, oh, this Western person is very attracted to this seva of Aarti. So he blessed him. You continue doing whatever you are doing now. Next life, you will take birth in a Brahman family and you will also get a chance to do Aarti. So this disciple was so happy that I have been blessed by a Brijavasi, Pujhari, that I will become Brahmana next life. He ran to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I have been blessed today. What happened? So this is what the Pujhari said, that in next life I will become Brahmana and I will be worshipping. So what was Prabhupada's reaction? Prabhupada was not happy with that, because he knew that his disciples were far, far, far better than so-called whatever in India they were talking. They were not Brahmanas. You have given them Diksha. This Brahmana should be by birth. Prabhupada said, whatever they do, but these people have given their life. So Prabhupada was upset. He said, now you go back. And you go, and I don't know whether he went back to tell, but Prabhupada told him, you go back. He said, you go back and tell him, you continue to do this Aarti in this life. And next life you will take birth in the Western world and you will join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. This was Prabhupada's faith, that what he was giving was not something ordinary. Of course, in Mayapur, another thing, something, same thing happened. This person was blessed by, same thing, a Brahmana, he blessed him, Prabhupada's disciple. Oh, you are very nice, continue, continue, you will become, I bless you, you become a Brahmana, next life. So again, this, sir, Prabhupada, I was blessed, a Brahmana, he said, I'll become a Brahmana next. So Prabhupada started laughing. He said, I will tell you one story. So Prabhupada told one story. There was an old lady, very illiterate, innocent old lady, and she had a land dispute. Or land was usurped by someone. So some district attorney, he came to know about it. So he came. He saw her problem. He was sympathetic towards her problem. He helped her. And she got back her land. She was very happy. So she, when she was very happy, she didn't know what was his designation, who was he. She said, I bless you that in next life you become a constable. So now this old lady, she didn't know that a district attorney is higher than a constable. For her, constable is something higher. So similarly, in India, Brahmanas, they were seeing that, you know, what is this, you know, okay, what are these two people, Brahmana, what is this? Even now, we know everything. Prabhupada, we know about Krishna. We know, we have heard about Krishna. We know everything about Krishna. This is what happened in Indore, when Prabhupada was called for Gita Jayanti. Prabhupada was called for Gita Jayanti, and that is a time he went, it was Gita Jayanti, and there was just a lamp on the stage. Prabhupada was upset, this is Gita Jayanti. Gita Jayanti means Bhagavad Gita, we are celebrating. Any political gathering also, you see the portrait of that person, this party, that party, Mahatma Gandhi, Jawaharlal Nehru. But here you say Gita Jayanti and there is no Krishna's photo here. So he asked them, what is this? So they said, divinity, light. That is the ultimate. Krishna says in Gita, man mana bhav madma. Actually what he means is, it is not me, it is something within.
So Prabhupada has become very furious.
He also has said like this. This Swamiji has said like this. So Prabhupada said that this is nonsense. They would say, Prabhupada, you are a Swamiji. How can you criticize others? You should be Samadarshi. Everyone equal, you know. They have their own contribution. They have said like this. And we believe that it is the light ultimate. Prabhupada will be very upset. So then they will ask, they have their contribution in Bhagavad Gita. They have given. That is their contribution. What is your contribution? You have your Bhagavad Gita as it is. What have you done? Have you done something which is a contribution? He said, my contribution is, I want Krishna to be known all over the world. Why only the Hindus should know about it? Why not everyone? But you Hindus, if you don't want to know Krishna, what can I do? That is my samadarsh. I am giving it to everyone. But when I am receiving knowledge, I am very selective. But when I am distributing, I am giving it to everyone. So this is how Prabhupada had this mood of accommodating everything. So there's a very interesting thing happened in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada's disciples, they understood Prabhupada's greatness. And then they planned to build home for Prabhupada. And it was planned that it will be called Palace of Gold. So one day Prabhupada was walking with his disciples. And that time there was only concrete, steel, some cement lying. There was nothing there. But it was planned that this will be Prabhupada's Palace of Gold. So one of the disciples asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, will this palace be like the palace in the heavenly kingdom, which is made of pearls, jewels, diamonds, rubies, which just illuminate on their own? There is no sun, there is no moon, there is no electricity there. They are self-illuminating. Will the palace be like that? You want to know what Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said, my disciples are my jewels. They are going to illuminate the whole world by their own. Each one of them is to glorify like that. Each person is, they are my jewel. This was Prabhupada's relationship. Of course, we may wonder that this legacy is going on and how it is still continuing, affected. So when we could conclude this, we will... One thing which I heard about that how Prabhupada's books and this are transforming people's life. It's a very amazing thing. This happened in Mayapur. In this room, there was a brahmachari sharing a room with another brahmachari, but he was from some Eastern European country. 6'3". And he was also in saffron. And this brahmachari also from India. Our here. You know? So both of them were sharing at the time of, you know, they had to go to sleep. So this our Indian brahmachari, there was no mosquito net he had not got. So he put that good night. So this brahmachari saw this. He said, don't you know that we are in Mayapur? This is a dham. So these mosquitoes are residents of this dham. By putting good night, you are causing harm to them. So this person was shocked. I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for 20 years, but I never thought like this, that by putting good night, I am causing harm to the mosquitoes are causing harm. So, why don't you go and get a mosquito net if you want, but don't put good night, because this is a dham. So this brahmachari could not sleep. Oh my God. So next day morning, he was thinking that, okay, I had to find a mosquito net, no doubt, but I want to ask that, who is he? So he asked him, tell me what you said, it was very nice. He's from Slovenia, some country, you know, some. Who are you? Who were you before? So he started speaking. Actually, I was a commander in a troop. In a troop, you know, like those, there, you know, every uprising, there is some type of, you go to villages, you just, plunder the village, you kill people. So he was leader of that troop. And he was saying, daily my activity was like this, going against. They were fighting against some protests, some against some type of authorities. This happening in the newspaper. So he was part of that. So he would go and every day killing, doing this, all type of possible atrocious things. This person, he himself is saying that I was doing it. Then one amazing thing happened. I went to one village and I came across one person and I put my rifle on his head and I said that now I'm going to kill you. So he said, you can't kill me. So you are shocked. How can you say that you can't kill me? I am going to kill you. The bullet is going to enter your brain and you're going to die. But you can't kill me. And there was so much peace and fearlessness in that person's face. So he was, I'm going to shoot you and you're going to die. He said, you can't kill me. Why? You're going to die. Said, no, I'm not going to die. This body is going to die. I'm not this body. I'm the spirit soul. So this person has never heard this. What is this? I'm not this body. I'm the spirit soul. Where you got this knowledge? What is this? I never heard this. So he removed from his pocket. That knowledge is coming from this book. So he saw this book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So he wanted to know more about it. But that you can't do it in the field when there is so much violence going on. So he said, you come inside. So they went inside and they were started talking about it. And his other assistants, they started looking, what has happened to the leader? What is he doing inside this? We should be plundering and going. So he said, you people continue your activities, I am coming. I have some important, I am going to handle this person first. He is quite stubborn. But actually what was happening is this person just hearing about this person who had just one copy of a book in a remote, some Eastern European, some God-forsaken village, and he is trying to talk to this person that we are not this body, spirit, soul. Immediately this person came to his senses that was doing such sinful activities. So he was wondering, asking him, where did you get this book from? So he said that my brother keeps traveling and one day he came out with this book and he threw this book and I read this book and his life transformed and he got transformed. They said, then what are we doing here? They started talking to each other. This person's commander and this person who is from that village whom he came to kill. And both of them left from there and went to a country where they had the freedom to practice Krishna consciousness. They went and joined a center. So just imagine, you may think that in modern day this is not happening. This sounds familiar to Mrigari. You know, it has happened. A person who was into all these sinful activities, he is not even willing to cause harm to a mosquito. Mayapur Dham. So this is the power of Prabhupada's preaching, his books. So this topic, that way it is very vast. I'm sure many people who are very senior, who have many things to say, their own experience, that what does it mean that, you know, Prabhupada, of course there will be challenges, living, going, coming, this can go on happening. But one sense, it is not that Prabhupada had made some infrastructure or something. Yes, he had made one sense, all these temples, but it is not that there is a visible some structure and people will be all accommodated. Actually, really it is the consciousness which all of us have an opportunity to build. The heart, what we build is within our heart. That consciousness, to how to take shelter in this type of turbulence, which can make us fearless. And then it is applicable to say that he built a house where the whole world could stay. Everyone can be accommodated and same time protected from material influences. So this is a responsibility, how it is going to go forward from here. It is everyone's responsibility. It is said that this medicine, there was once in Vrindavan, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he was giving this example that if we are not preaching, then it is like, he was giving an analogy that if we are not preaching, whatever we have received, we should be telling it to others. But this is the only solution, only protection. So he was saying that if you go to an endemic place, you know, endemic means there is disease spread all over. For example, there is malaria. Malaria is everywhere. And you have got the medicine. But suppose if you are not giving medicine to anyone, you are just holding on to it, then that is a crime. So we are not giving, then we are criminals. So this is how Prabhupada's legacy will carry on. There are people who are very dedicated, carrying forward. They are guiding. Under their guidance, we are also getting an opportunity to make progress and make our life successful in this life itself, provided we understand that how fallen we are, how we received this mercy, how grateful we should be for what we have received. Devotional service is not something very ordinary. It's very powerful. Whoever practices, he never remains the same. He's a different person. And the proof is we have seen how people have left their bodies, how they are shown by their own example, that how to live. So in other words, ISKCON is preaching both art of living and also art of dying. So we are not only talking about art of living. So how to live and how to die. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Samasta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.